Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, everybody, welcome to the brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with my man, Bill Dawes. How's it going? I'm going to be covering my zit the whole time. It's like, I either have like a lot of zits come at once or just one huge one. I'm not sure what's worse. I'm also 43 and still getting acne. There's all kinds of problems.
That's good. It's a sign that you're young, right?
Does it? Or that I'm stressed or that I'm not sleeping enough or my diet's bad. It's a lot of signs.
Testosterone, right?
Yeah, testosterone. Thank God I'm married. You know, my wife says she finds it sexy. She's like, it makes you look manly. Okay. I'm like,
yeah, she finds your pimple sexy?
Yeah, I was like, does this gross you out? She's like, well, no, it makes you look like a man. And I'm like, okay. All right.
By the way, this is what I knew. I was with a girl, and this is what I knew our relationship was over. True story. We were having sex one time, and she started picking a pimple on my back during sex. I was like, oh, this is over. That's too long.
It's better than one on your dick, right? but yeah. So
those don't pop, though, do they?
So we had a show last night. We had a show last night together at the Soho House. If you guys don't know the Soho House, it's like this place in L.A. I think they have one in Miami and New York. You have to be like a member, super exclusive. You have to pay a member. It's a good place.
It's like $3,000 a year.
$3,000 a year. And I guess, you know, like, Brad Pitt or this one or that. You could see stars, DiCaprio, whatever. So there was a comedy show there and a good-looking crowd. Like, it was one of those, like...
Very good-looking.
Yeah, which whenever they're really good-looking, I get nervous. Like, if they're good-looking from Orange County, I'm happy because they're not affected. If they're good-looking from L.A., I get nervous. I get nervous that they're more, like, there to be seen or they're not... They're on their phones. But this was actually, like... a great crowd. I don't know if it was because I did a whole week at Reno last week, so I did 8 shows. So I was like, you know, you do 8-10 shows in a week.
Yeah, you're in the groove.
But I went on first, and I was like, I came home. My wife's like, how was your night? I'm like, I almost got arrested. She's like, for what? I'm like, for murdering the crowd. And she's like, she got like mad at me for saying that. She's like, okay, whatever. And then it was like, then I had a show right after that at the Ha Ha, and I always get some, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll have a really good show, like at 8, and then it's in my head, and the 10 o'clock show never goes as well because...
Yes.
Especially if it's at the same club.
Because, yes, that's me with Chocolate Sundays at the Laugh Factory. 100%. I'll have one killer show, and one show will be terrible every time.
Because the early show, people are there, they have jobs the next day, it's less of a club, less of a cool factor, maybe they're laughing. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like the 10 o'clock show is people like looking around. It's a little bit like, I don't know. I feel like they listen better in the early show there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's always the case. Or sometimes you do the road and like Thursday you fucking murder. And then you're like, oh, this is going to be a great week. And then it progressively gets worse. A lot of times you're listening for the laughter. You're comparing it to how it was. It's a full crowd on the early and it's not on the second show. There's a lot of different factors there. So I had to tell myself, all right, Adam, don't get cocky. Don't keep your hands down. Don't think that you're this. It's a whole new set. And it was a whole different crowd. It was all black crowd. They were laughing, but they were laughing at different types of jokes. And it was fun. It was, both shows were really fun. But how did you do on that Soho crowd?
Great. I followed someone who didn't kill, which is, usually that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what happened. Adam, this is really funny. Because when I started, I do this thing where I start where I talk about the fact that I'm not vaccinated.
Right.
And I go, you know, I don't want to get it. I go, I already had COVID. It was so uncomfortable in that room in LA with all those rich people saying, I'm not vaccinated. Like, you could just tell, like, so for like 2 or 3 minutes, I had to like dig myself out of that. Because I said it affected my, I go, I had COVID, it messed up my heart. The doctor said it made my heart a little Republican. And they just were like, everyone's just like, ooh, is this guy like, so I kind of come back from that. The show goes, it goes great. But afterwards, so many women came up to me. They're like, don't tell anyone this, but I voted for Trump. Or don't tell anyone this, but I'm not vaccinated. Ah. Like now, like if you're not vaccinated, that's the new closet Trump supporter.
Look, I'm vaccinated, but I am not telling anyone how to live their life. I'm not one of these people that goes around, you have to get, I wasn't the people with the masks. I think the problem with the masks is that you got people that like were not given power in life, or and then they got this little power to tell you, and they fucking took it to the nth degree. So the point is that people come to you like, put on your fucking mask, and you hate that person so much. It's not even the mask. It's the fact that you're being scolded and that you're like, all of a sudden this person has power. And now you like hate that person more than you hate the mask. And it's sort of like a, ugh.
Yes.
And that, I feel like it's the same thing with the vaccinated. It's like people are just, they want to go and like tell you that they're better than you or this, that, or preach it. Like you do you, I do me, you know, I got vaccinated, but that's it. But I'm not going to like shame other people or go out and, you know, I just, that's not my thing. I don't care. I care, but I don't, I got my own fucking problems in my own world.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, what are you doing? By the way, so you just had a baby.
Yes.
Can we tell you a story a little bit about your first baby? Okay. So your first time you had a baby, you didn't know you had a baby. A girl that you had hooked up with that was like a former colleague of yours or you worked together, 3 years into the, had a baby, and 3 years later says, by the way, you have a child, right? So you missed the first 3 years.
I missed the first 2 years. So first 2 years. I missed the pregnancy in the first 2 years, yeah.
That's tough. That's really hard.
And particularly now that I have like a little baby, like that's the best.
It's the best, right? It's the greatest in the world. But
the first time they smile at you,
there's nothing better. Like I took my kid to school today, put her cheek next to my cheek while we're walking. Like yesterday I got a haircut. She started crying. Daddy, where'd your hair go? I go, I got a haircut. She goes, no, I want it back. I go, it'll grow back. She goes, I'm waiting. I'm like, no. But the Mayhem, by the way,
how old's your daughter now?
She's gonna be 3 next week. Mayhem, you're actually sideways, by the way. I mean,
oh, I am sideways.
No, Mayhem is normally. Oh, that's how you want to be set the whole show.
Mayhem's here. I didn't see him.
Yeah, Mayhem's down there, but he's sideways. Can you please? I mean, you could do this if you want, but it's totally up to
there
you.
There we go.
Yeah, perfect. That's perfect.
Who films their portrait?
So
Mayhem is always chewing on something.
Yes. Sometimes it's cement on the floor. But but Bill, I mean, how different, how crazy is this experience? Mayhem, by the way, we were saying that Bill Dawes, the first time he had a child, a woman told him 2 years into it, by the way, you have a baby. So he didn't even know he had a baby. He had a one night stand or it was like a, well, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden he has a baby.
She now told me the dad was Matt LeBlanc.
She said the dad was Matt LeBlanc. Yeah. And now it was your baby. But
who was paying the child support, LeBlanc or you?
Unfortunately, I think she wanted him to pay, obviously, why wouldn't you? But then the baby looks just like a ginger like me, so he was like, this isn't my kid, and I think he got a DNA test.
Man, thank God for racism.
I think that was an episode of Friends, actually. So then you find out it's your baby. Now, is this, but you're, by the way, your first daughter, though, doing great. She's in, like, Clemson or something, right?
She just graduated Berkeley.
Just graduated Berkeley. Did really well, lesbian, salt of the earth, just great person. And you guys have a great
throw in lesbian.
And you guys,
well, I like how you said like she did really well. She's a lesbian. I think that speaks to more how he views men.
But you guys have a great relationship though, right? You guys have a great relationship now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now, but now
yeah,
having now doing this the second time around, this wasn't expected either. Right? This is also a baby that was just sort of sprung on
you. We'd broken up, and then a week later, she tells me she's pregnant.
Man, your pull-out game weak.
So, I mean, now, but you're doing the right thing. You're taking care of the baby. How is it, like, versus the first time that it was no, you didn't do it versus now? I mean, is this a whole culture shock for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just so weird being with a baby in the phase where they can't hold their head up. such a different thing, you know? Like, just hold it. It's, you know, man, it's just, I don't know if you have a kid, Mayhem, but it's sort of, you can't really describe it. It's like a mushroom trip. It's like a constant mushroom trip.
And I can't really describe it because I've never met the little bastard.
Yeah, it's like holding a football with arms and legs for the beginning.
Yeah, you should have spiked that one.
Now, Jason, you seem like you're doing very well. I've been following you on Instagram, been talking to you. How are you doing, man? How are you adjusting? What's going on?
Oh, it's all a fraud, bro. I'm just showing like the happiest moments of my life. The rest of them are just pure, unadulterated hell. I'm constantly in pain. Oh, everybody always wants something from me. Everybody's always calling me about something I don't want to deal with. But I love it. But I love it, yeah.
How's training people? How's the gym?
Well, you know, training people, that's up to them, really. You know what I mean? I'm going to give 110% effort every time I step into the gym. And, you know, to be honest, there are a tremendous amount of athletes that are giving 100, 120, 150%, you know. But, you know, there's a bunch of fuck-ups, too. Right? That's just how life is. It's full of fuck-ups. And, you know, these guys are going to learn, or they're not.
Well, did you really give up? I mean, you had a lot of coaches. You had a lot.
I get paid either way. You know what I mean? I'm just walking through. I'm still living.
But you had a lot of coaches growing up. I mean, you had when you were at Reign, you had Mark Munoz as your wrestling coach. You had Jason Perillo as your striking coach, right? You had Hendo at for a while. You had Matt Hume was he one of your coaches?
In Japan, advisor, not a coach.
Oh, got it. I mean, did you always give it 100% to these guys, or were you kind of sometimes looking at these guys
No. So I fucked off a lot too. You know what I mean? MySpace came out. I was chasing vagina every which way. You know, I just got to be honest with you. You know, I fucked up my career a lot. Now it feels like a chance to like kind of guide some dudes and ladies on the right path, you know, to like stay focused and not make the same mistakes I made a lot of times. And, you know, I mean, I still became an international superstar despite my shortcomings. But I think that there's some people out there that will like go way above me in the sport just because of their gifts and their hard work and their ability to focus and not be distracted by all the pretty lights and celebrity ladies and, you know, men and whatever, you know, whoever it is that distracts you, you know.
Hey, Mayhem, let me ask, this is a hypothetical. If you're Simone Biles' coach, what would you say to her to get her out of her funk?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know the intricacies of the situation, you know. You know, from the outside here, and especially because I come from mixed martial arts and not gymnastics, you know, I would say, Simone, stop being a bitch and get back in there and fucking win the goddamn gold so we can get some more McDonald's sponsorships. But, you know, that's just me. That's just how I would react. And I don't know the intricacies. Like I said, I don't know the ins and outs. You know, I don't know which doctor adjusted her sacrum. You know what I mean? I don't know what the hell is going on with Simone Biles, so I can't really comment like that. As a competitor, I'm like, look, our best gymnast, get in there. Like, we need individual gold. Come on, Simone Biles. But, you know, the athlete side of me says, okay, she doesn't want to do it for some reason. Maybe she's starting her own gymnastics Olympic fighting championship. I don't know. I don't know what's on her mind or who's saying, hey, sit out this one. But, you know, it's stealing Simone Biles from me. And, I mean, I'm just talking about.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. I kind of agree with Mayhem because they said, you know, she's having mental issues. That's a big, like, and that could be anything. That could be suicidal thoughts. That could be like, oh, I have anxiety. That could run the gamut. So I think it's like you said. I know Bisping, you know, he kind of chimed in a little bit with he's getting those a lot of people are mad at Bisping for what he said. And
what did he say?
I'll tell you I'm trying to look up exactly what he said. But he basically said like kind of what Mayhem's second thing of like, hey, I think people are saying that she's a hero for this. And he was like, well, why is she, you know, why are we looking up to somebody quitting? You know, and I understand what he's saying, but we don't know exactly what's wrong with her. You know, that's sort of that's the problem. I know that Ronda Rousey said, she took Simone's thing saying, you know, hey, that's good that, you know, that, I mean, you're going through this thing. I'm actually proud of you and this and that. So I see both sides to it. At the same time, we don't know exactly what's wrong with her. And that's the problem. Dawes.
Well, do you think that if any man had quit in this situation, they'd be called brave?
No, but that's not the issue here, though. I mean, this isn't a man versus a woman thing.
You're so brave for taking a sick day.
That's what's his name was saying. The guy who used to host that was on the show, on the ESPN show, the football player, said that, like, there was a guy that quit and everyone was calling him like a pussy and a weak and a, you know, this and that. And then she does it and everyone's saying how like brave she is. So that
are you saying pussy pass right now? Are you calling pussy pass right now? Are you saying women get treated differently than men?
No, because we're all
equal. That is a very controversial statement. That right there might break the internet for
what were you saying?
That women are different than men.
What were you saying, Bill?
I forget. Ma'am got me cracking up. What was
that? Yeah, man. Fucking hell. You know what I mean? I got to go take some Vidal.
So, yeah, let me find the Bisbing thing, the Bisbing comment. She said,
Well, let me say this real quick.
I'll tell you what.
Said, okay, he said mental health.
She quit, and that's good. I'm Mike Bisbing.
That's what he said, right? He said mental health issues need to be respected. That said,
Health issues need to be respected. But if you don't know going to win gold, get the fuck out of America.
It's a great impression. I thought I was talking to Bisbing just now. That said, folding to pressure in a sports environment was not a mental health issue, unless I'm missing some details. So if I apologize from what I read, I don't think I am. He goes, I know nothing about gymnastics. I do know, however, that with sports of any level comes a lot of pressure. Throwing in the towel as she wasn't having a perfect performance is a good message to send young athletes. Other people would have killed for that spot. She said, quitters never win.
That's fucking rock solid for Mike Bisbee. I gave him shit, but that's he's right. He ain't wrong.
Yeah, but he did say, unless I'm missing details. And I'm saying that. We don't know exactly.
That's what I'm saying. He covered all his base. I think this guy is running for governor of Orange County soon or something. He covered all his bases, you know?
Yeah, he did. He did. And, but she also won, she's like a 13-time world champion. She won,
six
medals. It's not like she's never done this before. You know, it wasn't like the first time she won the medal when she quits. I mean, she's pretty much, I don't know. To be honest,
I took the, she dropped out of the group competition, right? I took that as her protesting against Russia or protesting against the shitty judges. Or I didn't even see I didn't see the event. You know what I mean?
I don't even care about this event, to be honest. I wouldn't even.
Oh my God, bro. You fucking bite your fucking
hold tongue, on,
bro. Simone Biles is a national treasure.
She's brave, but were you going to watch this event? Were you going to watch this event?
Springing through the air.
You were not going to watch this event.
Bro, I would definitely watch the highlights.
Okay? Yeah, the highlights.
Do you see that outfit she wears, that leotard, that unitard? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. This woman gives me
So then they're saying
like good nightmares. Once a wake-up stick.
Okay. They're saying she's a sexual assault victim of convicted former UFC gymnastics team physician Larry Nassar.
Yeah, of course. This motherfucker was dead. I made a joke earlier no one got. But, like, dude, Larry Nassar, like, screwed up a lot of women's life, dude. If anybody catch hold of him and decide to prison, he's fucking done.
He's done. He's done.
Oh, not just done, like done.
So what do they do? So a guy like him in prison, do they keep him by himself?
Oh yeah. Well, they tried. The dude's like, even on that kind of yard, like a Chomo yard, I think he would still get killed. like the same yard with like undercover cops and shit, or cops that fucking got busted. They hang out with the pedos, and like I don't think anybody's gonna leave him alone.
So
I did a you ever do prison shows, Adam?
No.
I did like two prison shows, but we had to do two different shows because the first show was for the sex offenders, and the second show was for the murderers and violent criminals, because they couldn't be together because the sex offenders would get murdered.
Oh my God.
It was that was their policy. They couldn't have them in the same part of the prison. I don't know.
I was bringing comedy to sex offenders in prison. What?
Usually the comics are the sex offenders. I mean, I know.
It's just horrible. So Ronda Rousey quotes, everyone judging Simone Biles doesn't know their foot from their asshole when it comes to being in her position. She's on the Olympic team while you're on Twitter. Whatever is going on cannot be grasped from outside. She's doing the absolute best she can given the situation she's in. Okay, but then people can't have opinions. So no one.
Who's that? Her mom wrote that?
That's what Ronda Rousey wrote.
Oh, but she's right. You know what I mean? Again, another good perspective.
Yeah, but wait, so she's just saying Bisbee was right.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's saying the same shit, basically.
No, like,
We don't know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, but I'm glad Simone Biles is coming to MMA. You know, that way she can come on MMA Roasted.
She's coming to MMA? Perfect.
Mayhem, have you ever had a situation where you're fighting, not after you got hit, but you're fighting and you, like, forget where you are and, like, all that shit? Like, you don't know what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, like 6 minutes ago when me and Adam were fighting about a Bisbee quote.
The Frank Trigg fight, right? The Frank Trigg fight when you got kicked in the head?
I remember the whole entire incident. I remember getting kicked in the face. I remember seeing the kick coming and going, oh, shit, that's going to be a good one. And like, you know what I mean? And then my face opened up like a damn leaky sieve, you know? And I said, oh, shit. I was like, I think I'm cool. No, I remember the kick was coming. I said, that's going to be a good one. The kick came. I was like, damn, that was a good one. And then my face, I was like, I wonder if I'm cut. And then my face opened up like someone had a faucet on top of my head. Reep, reep, reep. And was just bleeding. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, they're going to stop this one way or another. And then, like, TKO. And I was like, oh, fuck. That was a good call. I was getting fucked up right now. And I stood up and I went to the corner and asked Jan Henderson. I was like, hey, does it look bad? He's like, yeah. And I was like, pizza party at the hospital. Yeah.
So, Jason.
I remember the whole entire, I remember everything about that, yeah. Because, you know, I wasn't like KO'd. I was just like fucking dinked, and I knew that I had got dinked, and I knew I was cut open. I knew that somebody better order a pizza, you know.
Frank Trigg, by the way, I believe is a very underrated fighter. He doesn't get the.
Oh, what do you mean? He was at the time, bro. Like he was the fucking guy for a minute. Him, he had that. He got overshadowed by losing to Matt Hughes. Matt Hughes, right?
Yeah.
Bless his heart, Hughes. Yeah, Matt Hughes. And like you know, it's just one of those things, you know, where you know, the real ones know. You know what I mean? If people know.
Well, Frank, and the thing about Frank though, and I like Frank a lot. He's still upset about that Matt Hughes thing. Like, he's still like, my life would have been so different if I would have beaten Matt Hughes. Like, it's still like, and I'm like, bro, your life is great. You got great family. You got great kids. You're a great ref now. You're an actor. You're in this.
I know.
But it doesn't matter. Like, that's the thing about people like Jason or Frank Trigg or Simone Biles. In order to become great at something like this, you have to have such a fucking one-track mind.
Yeah.
That it's not something you could just blow. I mean, you can't just be like, oh, whoa, okay, you're right. You have to be obsessed.
You gotta obsess. You have to be obsessive. Yeah. In order to do it, you have to have like something of obsession in you. And you know, no amount of Dalai Lama classes can make you completely calm, you know, because if you got into a sport that's like intense. And, you know, and all competition is intense from Biles, you know what I mean? All the way, you know, Tiger Woods, like this, whatever you focus on and bring your intensity to, then, you know, it's going to be an obsession for you if you want to get any good at it.
Now, your first fight in the UFC, they give you GSP.
Yeah, crazy.
Like, see, I took the super rough route every direction I went. Like, people skills are just developing.
Yeah, you know? They give you a list of people you could have fought instead of GSP.
No, what do you mean? No, there's one guy, you fight that guy. If not, you know what I mean? Get the fuck out of here.
Did you go the full distance with GSP?
Oh, yeah. I took him. Nobody thought that he could because the guy was just a smashing machine. And, yeah, I gave him a good one. Like, the first TV fight, I think it was.
But like, I don't understand. I mean, nobody told you, like, hey, man, this guy is a better
No, match. What do you mean? I saw tape on him. I knew he was fucking a man. I knew he was, like, Canadian smashing machine, you know? So I was like, all right, get ready for that one with jiu-jitsu, you know? I figured out
where did you
choke
think,
him out.
So you thought, okay, this guy's better at wrestling, striking.
No, that's the other X factor is that we didn't realize how good a wrestler he was because he did, like, kickboxing mostly and bowled guys over with his karate style, you know? And then, he had, one or two takedowns, but he really developed that before he fought me. Like, he was like, that was his game plan.
So you figured he's better on the feet, you're a better grappler.
No, I just figured let's get into that's what I definitely figured. But I figured let's get into a firefight with him just to make him tired for the jiu-jitsu.
But I understand, a lot of times they give you, or maybe back then they didn't, they go, here's three guys you could fight. Which one would you want?
Oh, no, man. They just gave you one. It was a much limited pool back then. Like, there was less guys in the sport. It was less like elite guys to show on TV, you know. Yeah. It was like not the same time in mixed martial arts.
And he seems like a real nice, respectful guy. Did you?
Man, listen, get I know you want to fall. You want to like, for me, especially when I was younger, I like had to like hate a guy a little bit to really fight him. Like I had to get hype and hate him, but like this guy was just like a gentleman and like. You know, that was like, I think that's the best approach, you know, a professional, you know.
So what did you couldn't get in his head at all? You couldn't be like, did you say anything
at the weigh-in? I know I was doing crazy shit at the weigh-in, you know what I mean? I had some platinum teeth. And I took my platinum teeth out. Like, just being my regular weird-ass self. And, and George just like took it in stride. Yes, I am almost on the way. I am almost on the way. Like, hey. Bitch, look at me being crazy. Let me get in your head, motherfucker. Nah. This is George St. Pierre knows what's up. Yeah, this guy is he's like a French speaking Buddha.
He is. Hey, Colby Covington on his podcast said that George St. Pierre did so well because that was a different era, and nowadays MMA stars would like make easy work.
Oh, do you think that's true? Yeah, I mean that's ridiculous. The sport moves fast, but not that fast. You know what I mean? It's like, the guy is not, Moses Gracie in 1932, we're talking about. Yeah. You know,
Colby only compliments you after he beats you and you're retired, like a Woodley. He'll be nice to you at that point if he beats you up. Or if there's no chance of him fighting you, like if it's like a Daniel Cormier or something. Like if you're in his weight class and you're somewhere near him, he's never going to give you a compliment.
Like this is a different, oh, come on. This is, Kobe. This is a different animal, Kobe. He, like, thinks about everything differently. He thinks the world hates him right now. He thinks the world's out to get him. The world is out to get him.
And
that's his mentality. Happened. You know what? The world is out to get you, Kobe. You know what? You're not paranoid. Mayhem is telling you, Kobe. They're out to get you, bro. You fucking keep that You keep that in your head. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're wrong.
Now, the big fight that never happened was Khabib versus GSP. Who do you think would have won that fight?
Come on, man. Wait, what are we talking about here? You're joking, right?
No, that was a super fight that everybody wanted.
Why don't they fucking do it? Jake Paul stole the fucking dollars. Jake Paul stole all the fucking fight dollars.
I'm asking you, who do you? All right, how about this?
The undercard.
All right, two guys that are fighting, or a guy that you always wanted to fight versus a guy that you did fight and beat. Robbie Lawler versus Nick Diaz. They're fighting in September.
I was waiting. I've been thinking about this like all week and shit. Like that's But I don't know what the date on the bike.
It's September. September, I think, 25th. Oh, I think.
It's too early to start getting hyped up for that right now.
Who do you think's going to win?
That's like six fights away, isn't it? Somebody is next. I got important shit to do, Adam.
Who do you think's going to win the fight? This is a guy that you fought.
What about him?
Who's going to win? Robbie Lawler or Nick Diaz?
Oh, I don't know yet.
You don't know yet.
How can you know this early? You never heard nobody like, you know.
Well, Robbie Lawler has not looked good his last couple fights. He's looked a little bit like he's on the downfall of his career, the B side or even C side. Nick Diaz hasn't fought in 9 years. I mean, his last fight.
9 years? It's been that long?
His last fight, I think, was against BJ Penn, which he destroyed, but it was a shot BJ Penn, let's be honest. But, you know, he's still running marathons. He's still in shape. I know he was drinking a lot, but he seems like he's cut up and he's taking it seriously again. So he's got to be in his, 40? He's got to be pushing 40. I don't know how old Nick Diaz, but he's getting up there. I'm thinking Nick Diaz is going to win this fight based on activity of what he's capable of doing in the fight. I mean, so that's what I'm thinking. But, I mean, I also
think so.
I think the UFC
He hasn't been in there.
I think the UFC
who's he coaching? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is he preparing for real, or is he running marathons? Like, that's different. That's two different sports.
His last fight was against Anderson Silva in 2000.
I remember that. That was a pretty funny one.
It was against Anderson Silva in 2015. So that was 7 years ago. Before that, he fought GSP and Carlos Condit before that, and then BJ Penn in 2011. His last win was in 2011. So he's had, so he hasn't won in 10 years. But before that was Paul Daly.
I got a super fight for you. Super fight. Nick Diaz versus Nate Diaz. That would be huge. Come on. That would be amazing.
I don't think you could get that.
It won't happen, but it would be amazing.
It won't happen. All right, more importantly, Limp Bizkit's coming to town. You guys want to go to the concert? The Limp Bizkit concert?
Yeah.
It's in a couple of weeks. Bill, do you want to go?
Yeah.
I have a pretty funny Limp Bizkit story before we get on back to fighting. So I was in New York. I was like 21 years old. I started doing comedy. And this girl comes up to me and she's like, hey, you want to be Limp Bizkit on a TV show? Fred Durst. I was like, sure. And then Fred was like the hottest thing. Limp Bizkit was the hottest thing. So like, okay, yeah. So then I like went to the audition. They're like, they want you to sing a Limp Bizkit song. I sang Roland. And I thought it was like a TV show. Like I was going to be an actor on a show. So I show up and there's a guy that looks like Ricky Martin, a kid that looks like Lil' Kim, and a girl that looks like Christina Aguilera. I mean, what kind of fucking show it is? They're like, okay, welcome to Face Spiders. It's people who are obsessed with stars, right? So they interview me. And they're like, well, why do you want to be Limp Bizkit? And I was like, I don't. I was a fucking comedian at a comedy club. Like, no, we think you're obsessed with Limp Bizkit. I'm not. I don't even really like Limp Bizkit. I was doing comedy. And then the fucking director comes out. He's like, oh, you're going to be difficult? I'm like, I'm not going to be difficult. That was not the show that I was going to be on. By the way, I think Jason, I think it's your thing, right? So I'm like, I wasn't the show I was supposed to be on, right? So then they're like, okay. So they're like, they come out. They're like, listen, you don't leave. Just say that you want to be, you know, Limp Bizkit and that you're a big fan. I mean, they dyed my hair blonde. They gave me the fucking fake tattoos, the baseball cap, the whole thing. So I'm like, all right, guys, I love Limp Bizkit. They're my favorite. Like, I tried to be all like corny with it. The people who knew me would know I was kidding. So then they're like, okay, first round. And then they have the judges, which are like Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim's a judge. It's hosted by Molly Sims, the model. And then it's somebody, I think somebody else is a judge. I think Christina Aguilera is a judge and somebody else. So then like, I come in like last place because everyone else was obsessed with the people. They're all getting like perfect tens. I got like a four, you know, like, so then I'm like fucking even madder, right? So then like, okay, now it's the performance round. So I got so fucking mad. I performed in front of a crowd as Limp Bizkit, and I trashed a set. I'm like rolling. I took off my shirt. I started humping the air. They're like, perfect, 10. They gave me all 10s. They're like, you totally became Limp Bizkit. Like, I dove into the crowd. And then, like, fucking little kid came up to me afterwards. She's like, man, you're hot. Like, she took a picture with her. I had a girlfriend at the time, but I'm pretty sure I could have smashed little Kim.
Damn it. Do you have tape of that, Adam? Do you have tape of this?
I'm looking for this tape. It's called Face Biters. MTV's Face Biters. I can't find it anywhere. I'm looking for it. It's like from 2000.
Reach out to one of the producers if you know any of the producers.
I did. I couldn't. It's in the year 2000. That's my
that'd be great,
story. Dude. Yeah, so that's my actual story about.
Bro, I saw you on that show, bro. I've been trying not to say it. I know exactly that show.
Did you really?
I watched
Holy
that
shit.
Show in 2000 or 99 or 80 fucking something. Exactly. I don't know what year it was. Fucking MTV.
Exactly. So now I have to go see Limp Bizkit.
We're MTV alumni, you and I. You were the Limp Bizkit dude that time. I'm the Bully Beatdown guy. Nice to see you, bro.
I was also on True Life. I'm a comic, too. I was on the True Life series.
I know. You were on, like, everything. You got TV credits out the ass, for real.
You were on.
It makes me sad about that haircut you got.
I tell you, my daughter started crying. And then she's like, anyway, all right. So, all right, back to the fights this week. There's some good fights this week, by the way. Your boy, AJ McKee, is fighting Pitbull.
I have not interjected in that camp at all.
Why?
Just because I want to stay out of it.
Didn't the father speak for you?
This guy, Antonio McKee, is an absolute gentleman, a knight of Southern California. You know what I mean? Like, so... Whenever he needs anything, I'm here, you know.
Right. So his kid is fighting Pitbull, who's 32-4. AJ McKee is 17-0. Pitbull, by the way, he's coming off a win against Emmanuel Sanchez in one round. He beat Pedro Cavajo. He beat Juan Archuleta, who's a fucking thing. He knocked out Michael Chandler.
This guy is the journeyman to end all journeymans, really, Pitbull.
Journeyman.
Right? If we're going to call him that. I mean, he's been in Bellator the whole time, right?
He hasn't lost since.
You know what I'm saying? This guy has traveled around.
Yeah.
He's well.
Daniel Weishel, Jimmy Corrales. I mean, he's beaten so many good guys. But Antonio McKee looks like the prodigy. I mean, this kid has he lost a round yet? I don't think he's lost a round. Now, you train with this kid, right?
I don't know.
How good is he, Jason?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Man, it's just pretty amazing athlete all around, like smart fighter. Like, he's very impressive, you know, McKee. AJ, like, has like a strange slickness to a style that's like born out of being in a like a tight room where you have to fight your friend. You know, you got to be like, you got to go for it, you know, and, you know, it's like a great test because. You know, on one hand, it's like, oh, Patricio Pitbull, what? He just throws them hammers, right? Comes straight at you and try to bowl you over, right? That's pretty much, am I right or wrong about that?
No,
that's
you're
his
right.
style.
A monster.
And then you got the opposite, AJ, who's sliding around you, ninja style, you know, who spin kicks if he wants them, you know, back fist and punching and jabs and wrestling too. Like, really good, you know, high top level wrestling. So, man, it's two artists, you know. It's just like, who's going to paint the picture that night, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is a great fight. I mean, this is, like, probably, I mean, arguably the best 145 pounder in the world. I mean, because you got Aljamain and Peter Yan. Out of those four, anyone could win those. I mean, you know, and Bellator doesn't have many guys that you could say are the best in the world. I can't think of another weight class you could even say that in.
I mean, yeah, you can't say that. Yeah, he is the elite guy for any of the damn organization. You know what I mean? Like 145 for him to do what he does at that weight class is like pretty amazing. It's something about the weight cutting factor. Like he doesn't really have to cut a lot of weight like to do that. You know, and just be like lean and the absolute strongest on the day. Like that's the most important thing. You know, is like, when your body peaks.
It's funny you say that he became the best guy in the room because he has a guy like in there. But then you got a guy like Pitbull who literally has a brother who's also amazing. It's like two guys that are also forced to be the best guy in the room.
No, that's how it is, man. MMA is a family sport. You know, like everybody is like in there. You're sweating on each other.
Who's a guy that you could say was your training partner that got you really good?
Oh, man. multiple. I have like some face punch friends from all over the world. They like help me get better. You know, it really, I mean, you're everybody's student, everybody's teacher in the room a little bit, you know, your technique has to come born out of something that really works, you know, and then you make it your own, stylistically, I'm saying. But man, you know, I got off, I always get into the artistry of it. Instead of, I think you're asking me technical questions, right?
No, I'm asking you, I mean, first of all, you tell me stories sometimes where, like, you spar with Mark Coleman. I don't even understand. Like,
hey, Coleman, yeah, yeah.
Like, no, I mean, no, that's was 245 pounds. I don't know if he was juicing or not, but, like, let's just say the Pride, you spar with Pride Coleman. I mean, how did he not just obliterate you? No offense.
No, the shoes, man.
Wait, what?
He's wearing his boots, man. The boots.
You kept hearing
he's wearing
him,
his
right?
boots. He wouldn't wear not wear his boots. And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm gonna leg lock you. And then like I did because of the damn boots. If I can catch on your shoe, a jiu-jitsu man, I just put my like pinky on his toe. You know, it's grab. But if you're wearing boots, you got a damn handle there. You know.
Now, was he the when you were sparring? Was he the pride champ of the world when you're doing that?
I think so, yeah, huh? So, I didn't take into account that was at the time that that's what was happening.
So I'm saying, like, when you tap the pride champ of the world over and over with leg locks.
Bro, listen, it's him and Baroni fucking had a fucking yelling fucking match after that because Baroni's trying to tell him how to get out of a footlock. Mark Coleman's like, I can't get out. And they start screaming at each other. And I'm just standing there while civilians are watching this go down.
What are the funniest
like some
stories?
Dude who paid $25 mat fee to play like sport jujitsu, and it's a bunch of MMA dudes about to murder each other. Like and I'm just standing there like you know, like a realtor, like telling two people that they can't have this space, you know.
One of the funniest stories Chuck Liddell, by the way, who wants to go into bare knuckle boxing, which I'm really against, based on how he looked against Tito. Like, dude, I know you need money, but come on, man. You know.
Who he owed? The tax man? What the fuck?
I don't know. I mean, word was that he was.
Chuck Liddell need money too right now?
That was word on the street. I don't even know if that's true. He lives in like the nicest area.
What do you do? Buy a laundromat?
He lives in like Hidden Hills in Calabasas, but like his roommate.
Oh, he's doing all right, man.
Yeah, he's neighbors with Drake and the Kardashians.
Yeah, what's the matter? He doesn't have a 7-Eleven close by? He's bad.
But the thing about it, though, he told me a story that when he was in Pride, Mark Coleman and Randleman came up to him like the day before the fight when they were fighting, when he fought Crow Cop, and they go, hey, what should we do against Crow Cop tomorrow? And then Chuck Liddell said, you guys don't have a plan? They're like, no. He goes, all the way in or all the way out. And he goes, okay. And then he knocks out Crow Cop the next day. Then he was fighting Fedor, and Coleman goes, hey, like Dave, like I think the day of, he goes, how do I defend a leg lock? Which is like, Mark Coleman is like, that to me is like the greatest, some of the.
Hey, you know what? Maybe that's what it is. Mark Coleman was looking for all the ways to get out of leg locks, right? So he's just roaming the countryside saying, hey, how do I get out of this leg lock? And like, he visited Mayhem, he went to Tokyo, asked some guys about it. Yeah, I bet you can't get Mark Coleman in a leg lock today, Adam.
Oh, did you ever see that? Ever see that video when he pushed Rogan? Him and Rogan were like wrestling around.
I believe it.
Were like at a UFC, and Rogan was like kind of wrestling, and then Coleman just went like shoved him, and Rogan like flew, and this is like,
yeah.
And Joe Rogan's a tough fucking guy.
Yeah, of course, like.
But Coleman, it's a different level. You know, like, you know, old man strength Coleman.
Yeah, that's a like, way bigger dude. Yeah, that's like Coleman. Oh, my goodness. What a great guy.
Damn, have you rolled with Rogan before?
Yeah, we played at Legends in Hollywood. And also before that, we were over there at the Bomb Squad. Yeah, had Eddie Bravo and them in it. Yeah. You know.
Rogan, how'd that go? Was he pretty easy for you to handle?
Oh, he was a black belt, though. Like, he knew everything he was doing, but, you know, the size differential in us, you know, is a different weight class, you know. With no gi, you know, there's, like, a lot of moves I could do as a bigger guy to, like, keep him inside the range, you know, and move, you know, move around to the side and, like, kind of do some wrestling, you know, to counteract the 10 planet style.
Yeah. Who's the best jiu-jitsu guy in MMA that you've experienced or you would guess?
I don't know. There's been a bunch of dudes. In MMA? Oh, man. Me? But, I don't understand what you're asking because, like,
there was a guy I rolled with. I remember Eric Bradley was a wrestler, took second in the Penn State. I remember wrestling him going, there's nothing I can fucking do against this guy. Like he's better everywhere. I can't take this guy. Like, I'll do my best.
Bradley?
But yeah, he was a good wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Bradley, yeah, he was good at wrestling, but just specifically wrestling.
Yeah, style. It was just wrestling.
When you threw the punches at this guy, like, it was no.
I remember he actually ran from the law and, like, stayed at your house.
I remember this guy. I knew you brought
Him and Pat
come up for some reason. I was like, yeah, I remember that dude.
But was there, but what he's asking, was there a guy that you rolled with where you were just like, I mean, like a guy like Verdum, where it's just like next level?
Verdum will fuck me up, but I would figure out how to scramble around him because I'm, like, lighter than him. So, like, I'm, like, the little guy against him, you know? So, like, he's moving like Frankenstein. I just, like, roll out to the side, you know, try to catch his back and that kind of thing. Because, like, when you're the smaller guy, you need to be scrambling, like, make things happen, you know? The problem is when a big, big guy gets in good shape, it's, like, amazing, you know? Because when you're heavy and in shape, like, you can move and smash the smaller guy most of the time. You know, it's, like, up to him to find a way to counteract what you're doing.
What about, like, Jason, gravity, a guy like Jason Manley?
Manley, yeah. Manley has, like, good, like, long tensile strength. Does, like, fluid maneuvers with his hips and shit, like Gracie Jiu-Jitsu style.
Yeah. I remember I used to watch Paul Harris. I remember thinking at one point, like, how's everyone going to beat this guy? He looked so invincible at times, you know what I mean, with his jiu-jitsu. But then obviously Harris, we got to figure it out.
I don't even remember watching all Harris fights.
No, Paul Harris. He was the guy that wouldn't let go. He broke everyone's arm and legs. Like, he would get you in an arm bar.
Oh.
And he would fucking.
Oh, Paul Harris.
Yeah.
This guy, I don't know. I just think he, like, I had the kind of, I don't know, I get it. He's like, I gotta snap this guy's leg or I'm not gonna make my money. Like, I feel like that's his, he's a nervous energy kind of dude, you know? Break his leg!
I just think he's kind of come from, like, the Hector Lombard school of fighting where it's like, it's not like a sport to these guys. It's a fucking
personal, always.
Bro. It's life or death, bro. It's kill or die. It's kill or die.
Now, did you watch, by the way, I know, Bill, we watched it. Lombard got in Tyron Woodley's face at a bare knuckle boxing event. Paige VanZant lost to Rachel Ostovich because Tyron Woodley back in the day was hitting on Lombard's side chick. And that was disrespectful to Hector Lombard because it was his side chick. And he was saying all this shit about Hector. So,
this girl's side chick have a Twitter? Side chick?
Twitter called Hector side chick.
We got to get the side chick on the podcast. That's our next goal. I think I might know who it is, too.
Are you serious?
Live. I would tweet it right now, though, to be honest. I'm
pretty sure I know exactly who it is. But, I mean, the fact that, like, I don't understand, like, imagine he hit on his real girl, like his actual girl, like they would be, he'd be.
Wait, he has a doll? He has one of those robot sex dolls, a real girl?
That's probably, Hector's one of probably the scariest people I've ever seen because he's one of those dudes like Tyson where it's like in a street fight, I don't think anything's off limits with this guy. Like headbutting.
I feel like he will bite you too. He's a Cuban. You know what I mean? He's a very vicious man. Yeah. The guy is pretty vicious.
When you were in jail, did you see fights like that where it was like anything goes?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I already, like, called him out, like, on his facial structure. or something. I've seen that same devil inside other dudes, like, you know, genetically. So I appreciate, I very much respect Hector Lombard, and especially when I'm in range.
But I mean, what was some of the craziest things?
He supports Trump. He supports Trump, bro. He's got a fucking fire inside of this guy.
Now, yeah. What was some of the things that you've seen? Or like, you see a guy ever get his like nose bitten off or anything, or his eyes raked out? Or
oh man, why are you gonna make me tell a story like this, bro? I feel like it's Sunday. It's like a nice day. You're in a fairy castle. You always want to tell like gritty prison.
You want to live like we gotta live vicariously through you. That's what it is.
I know, but it doesn't feel right. You got your penance back there.
You're right.
You guys go both sit in the alleyway. We'll be in the streets together. We'll be in these streets. Hey, go out in your front yard, Adam. Turn off your geolocation.
No, you're right. No, that doesn't think
like, you know what I mean?
Like when Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear, like it was like, yeah, he lost a boxing match, but he won the fight.
I can understand why he did that. I can understand if you go back and watch the fight. I can understand why he did that.
He was getting headbutted a lot, right?
Holyfield was doing that shit on purpose, knocking his fucking head against his face. That's pretty slick and like mean and illegal. But like Mike just couldn't take it. He was I'm done with this shit. I bit the guy. I could understand. I sympathize with Mike Tyson.
There are so many things sometimes, Jason.
When you're in the zone, when you're in the zone trying to get the guy, really with hard ass punches, you know, like. And then you're getting headbutted, and the fucking referee's not. You feel kind of overwhelmed. You know what I mean? Spit your mouthpiece out. Then, you know what? I already went this far. And then, fuck it. I got a piece of his ear. Here we go. We're going to the commission with this.
Well, I mean, sometimes I think that I'm like, you know what? Like, where do they come up with these tricks? Like, even when McGregor was getting beat by Poirier, he pulled the inside of the glove down and then upkicked it. And Dustin said, hey, ref, like, and I'm like, that's a pretty fucking slick trick. As cheap as that is, I didn't even know that even existed.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like if you could get away with it, it's kind of not cheating, right? Like, well, if the referee didn't see it, like, fuck it. You can't just stop the fight, go back on, look at every little angle of the, hey, you see in slow motion here, Mayhem actually cheated, grabbed the guy's glove, and punched him in the face. They're like, oh, so what? The ref didn't see it?
Well, I mean, I remember I had a wrestling coach in high school. When I went to Oceanside High School for, like, all the vacations, like, I went to practice with the high school team before I went to boarding school. And there was a coach that was, like, an old school coach. And he would teach you how to, like, basically choke a guy out with, like, a head and arm, basically, and then shake him. And then shake him to make it seem like he's still moving.
Yeah, like so a reverse dart.
Then you get the pin, and then the ref, and then, oh, the guy's still passed out. And I'm like, man, like I never even, like, what even, like, thought of that, you know. But
did you do it? Did you try it?
No, because I didn't. I never did that. It was sort of like a Hail Mary kind of move. But, Jason, when you're at the gym, and, like, McGregor obviously was taught or figured out how to – upkick while holding the gloves in. How many of those tricks do you guys like, hey, by the way, we can get away with this fucking thing? Like, is that like a thing that you guys talk about or people teach you?
Nah, I mean, I was making a joke about it, but like, you know, there's like certain techniques that's like gray area, you know? Like, there's always like, the rules are like kind of subjective, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's how they're enforced. On the night of the fight, you know, the referee, if the referee has a different bias, you know, it's all, you know, you got to take that into account.
Well, I remember GSP was accused of greasing. That was the big thing, greasing.
Oh, yeah, with BJ.
Oh, yeah, he did that. Oh, yeah, he did that, yeah. No, yeah, against, I think we're already all past that.
Against you, was that a thing he did?
Yeah, of course. I thought it was pretty fucking clever. I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, damn, I should have thought of that. Yeah.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
So wait, right? So you're fighting him, and like you're fighting him, and you're going, wait a minute, holy shit! Like this was a good idea. Why didn't I? Or were you actually mad?
Well, no, I tried to fucking protest. You know, I was like, hey, Big John, like he fucking hit me with another elbow. So I watched the video. Go back. You can hear me. Hey, Big John, he's greased up. Oh, he's okay. What? He's okay. Shit, Big John, bust my nose.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I had Victor Ortiz at my house for the party, and like nothing gets me more upset. Remember when he fought Mayweather and he finally was like kind of winning, sort of like he got mad and he's like,
yeah, he was fucking whooping him and like let up off of him. I know.
Then he hugged him. Okay. Then he hugged him again, and Mayweather's knocked him out. It's like
a little too much respect.
Too much.
A little too much respect.
Too much respect.
By the way, here's a weird rule I saw. If you're on your back and sometimes you side mount in the cage, and you put your feet on the cage and you use your toes to pull yourself, you can't do that. Yeah. How the fuck else are you supposed to move if you're against the cage?
No, I think you could have them. You could walk it. You just can't have your toes like in the cage. Like it's a weird thing. Like you can walk on it. You just can't like grip them.
I've only seen that recently with the toes. Yeah.
From what I understand. So UFC this week. Uriah Hall versus Sean Strickland. Sean Strickland's the guy. Remember that? I showed you that video, Jason, of the guy that you trained with. That was like the jiu-jitsu guy that you said was kind of at the Perillo's gym. He did that weird like thing where you could snap your arm. Remember that big kind of fat guy that, but he's great at jiu-jitsu. And you said you trained with him before, and he's like kind of cheap. But you said he did it again against Strickland, and Strickland flipped out against him. Like
Orlando.
Orlando. Yeah. So the guy that he fought.
Orlando. Yeah.
Okay. Now you said against you he tried that or no? Was he cheap against you too?
Oh, of course, yeah. But I saw that shit coming. But I was like, damn, that shit was sneaky.
What is the move again? What is the move, man?
Like a fucking, like a little kung fu whip of the dude's arm, you know?
When you're in a clinch?
Like you, yeah, when you're in the clinch, yeah.
Yeah, so basically.
Like you get his elbow to bend backwards. But it's his dumb fault for being relaxed while you're sitting there. You know what I mean? So you got to catch, like you got to catch it, you know?
So there was a video that went viral.
It's kind of like a Kimura, like a standing Kimura, sort of, with your back.
So there was a video that went viral, basically. Strickland is kind of a guy that, like, is known for going really hard at the gym. He goes 100%. He went up against Orlando, who had basically, Strickland said something to him beforehand, like, you shouldn't be here, blah, blah, blah. It got kind of a heated roll, and then he went for that, like, almost like an uppercut, you know, break your arm thing. But I guess it's one of those things that just all it does is fuck your arm up. It's not even a real submission move. It's just like it's a move to fuck up your arm. Strickland flipped out and then like basically karate chopped him and like kicked them sort of away. And it got heated. The video went viral. This guy got like fucking like death threats. This guy Orlando, but Orlando was like one Abu Dhabi.
Why though? Why?
He's like, because everyone's like, the guy's a UFC fighter. He's training. What are you trying to break his arm for? He's in a main event. He's fighting Uriah Hall.
I mean, that's a pretty good point. Everybody, you know what I mean? I mean, the guy is training for a fight. That's kind of a dick move.
They're saying it was a dick.
I mean, everyone knows that move now.
So it was like one of those things where, this guy made a video to Orlando, and after hearing him, you can kind of hear his point. You're like, okay, I could see you can see it was just a heated thing. And people that train with Strickland say the guy's a psycho in the training, but he's also an amazing fighter, and he's just one of those guys, just goes 100%. So,
and he's fighting this weekend? Who's he fighting?
He's fighting Uriah Hall in the main event.
That's right, yeah. Of course, I forgot about
that.
Should be a really good fight. You train with Uriah Hall, right, Jason?
Yeah.
How good is Uriah
Hall? Yeah. He's good, man. Like, he's got like all the skills and like all the tools. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's been going on lately with them, you know, but I don't know. Maybe you could elucidate me on that. But
he's been to a lot of camps. He's one of those guys that go to camp to camp to camp. But he seems to be.
I'm saying he's well versed.
His last fight was against Chris Weidman. It was where Weidman broke his foot on him.
Okay. See, what fight before that?
Before that, he knocked out Anderson Silva in the fourth round.
Right.
A fight that was like kind of, it was like even sort of, and then he knocked out Anderson. And then he felt terrible about it and apologized to Silva about it. It seems like he's a guy that's really good at fighting, but he doesn't like fighting.
He seems like really, he might have some mental health things going on. Remember,
back to the Ultimate Fighter, remember he was supposed to say was a bully, but he wasn't. But you hang out with this guy, he's the nicest guy. I've hung out with him on numerous occasions. Really sweet guy, like a guy that just like very not emotional, but he wears his heart on his sleeve. Before that, he beat Carlos Shoeface. By the way, Shoeface has a win over Gary Tonin with a flying triangle in a jiu-jitsu match, by the way. Random. And then he beat Bevan Lewis. So he's on a four-fight win streak. He lost to Paulo Costa 2018, a fight that he was also winning. So he's won four in a row. Maybe he finally is – he's one of these dudes that sometimes loses the first two rounds, remembers he's in a fight, and then just knocks you the fuck out with a flying knee or something or some kind of crazy thing. Sean Strickland, on the other hand, I think has won like 16 – no, he beat Jocko, he beat Brendan Allen, he beat Jack Marshman. His last loss was in 2018. So he got knocked out. And then he lost to Usman, 30-27, in 30-26. He lost there. But he's also a guy that, like, has everything. It should be a good fight. Should be a really good fight, actually. I'm curious about it. It's a main event. People are not talking about it. These are always the cards where everyone's like, holy shit, greatest card ever. Like, 8 knockouts in a row because no one's been watching it. And, like,
yeah.
You know, also, you have, like, low expectations. But that's the big one on this card. So I'm excited about it. It got announced
this weekend. Man, I always get confused. Everybody's always saying this weekend.
Yeah, this Saturday.
Oh, great.
Bellator and UFC are going head to head Saturday.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. What are we doing? Like laptops? Everybody's popping out their phone. We're like, how many screens do we need?
It's going to be in Vegas. Bellator
is not going to handle all of that.
Bellator is in L.A. It's in Los Angeles. Bellator is so fucking stupid because they have fights on Friday nights for the last, like, whatever, on Showtime. They finally have a fucking amazing card, and they put it against the UFC, which is just like, ugh. Like,
they're trying to make a statement. I think they probably think they can beat UFC for this card.
They're gonna live stream it from my house.
It's on Showtime. They're not. It's on Showtime. There's no way.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, just the fact that it's on Showtime alone, it's like, yeah.
And Showtime doesn't have a pay-per-view option like ESPN or anything like that.
No, Brian Barbarena's fighting. Jenu Fry's on the card against Ashley Yoder, who's a hottie. Nico Montaña, who won the Ultimate Fighter, who's a Native American from the Rez, as they call it.
From the Rez.
He's fighting Wu Yanan. By the way, those are always, whenever I do a show and it's like near a reservation, always the best. They laugh like no one else. I guess people who've been had the hardest, people who've had it the hardest are usually like the fucking laugh. Brian Barbarena is on the card. Like Brian Barbarena. He lives on a farm now in like, I don't know, Tennessee or something. He moved his family to a farm. He's coming off, he beat Anthony Ivey. He lost to Randy Brown. He knocked out Ellenberger quick. Lost to Vicente Luque. He's a guy who's been around for a while too. He was only 32. Holy shit, looks like he's like 50. But yeah, it's gonna be a good card. It got announced today that Riddick Bowe is fighting Lamar Odom. So in celebrity boxing, Riddick Bowe.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. Are you fucking kidding me right now?
I swear on my life. Riddick Bowe, 53 years old, at one point was the heavyweight champ of the world. Remember, he threw it in the trash instead. At like.
But I'm saying he's gonna. Oh my God, he's gonna fight Lamar Odom.
Yes.
Oh my.
I mean, Lamar Odom did beat Aaron Carter.
They're in on it together, right?
Well, no, they're gonna fight.
Riddick Bowe's not gonna fucking kill him, is he? Because like, bro, this is like that's a big mismatch.
Riddick Bowe looks like he can barely walk. I hate to say it. He looks like he's in. He's got a bad
ankle, some shit. What happened?
He just looks like he's just like arthritis. I don't know. He looks like he's been through fucking. They got hit by a train or something. He looks like he's in bad shape. Like if you walked by him in the street, you would not know that was Riddick Bowe. You'd be like, that guy's in bad shape.
Did he have a problem with drugs too?
It seems like he. I don't know if he had a problem with drugs, but if I had to guess, he's had a lot of problems over his life.
Is he skinny?
He doesn't look
real
like,
skinny.
He doesn't look like Riddick Bowe. And I'm just keeping it real.
I hear you.
Now I've hung out with a guy who trained Lamar Odom. He thinks Riddick Bowe's gonna kill him. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's probably an exhibition match where you can't punch hard in the face or something, right?
No, it's celebrity boxing. I don't know if they have headgear.
But well, the headgear is pretty janky sometimes. Like, it's like Riddick Bowe still has like Riddick Bowe punching power somewhere in his body.
Remember that fight with Golato? Remember when Golato was beating him and he kept hitting him below the belt? And they called him like the South.
Yeah.
They said it was like the South Pole or something, or like because he was Polish. That was the cover of the paper or something. And then the second fight they had, somebody flew in from a. Remember, someone in the middle of the fight, someone flew in from like a parachute and went to jail for like a year because of it. And they called him like Fan Man.
Yeah, some weirdo. Yeah.
And somebody, it was like a brawl. The guy flew in from a parachute in the middle of a boxing match. And then somebody started beating him.
Was he protesting something? Or just having fun?
But it was like kind of normal. Like,
you know, he was, and I don't know what it is. That's why I'm staying silent about it. I'm like, I don't have any information on it, but he was like saying something bad about something. Caesars. That's where he did it, right?
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. I think he did like a year in jail for that, or 2 years in jail.
Yeah. That's like a stunt gone wrong right there.
And then there was like one of Riddick Bowe's cornermen hit him with like some kind of a hammer. He had like a hammer on him or something.
Yes.
Yes. But it was the second time. It was a brawl. Like, both fights, there were brawls. And both times, he had the same hammer, like the cornerman.
Why are we not checking these guys? Motherfucking hammers. No more hammers in the locker room. Sons of bitches.
Every so he had the hammer in the corner.
Yeah. Like the same cornerman just kept beating people up with hammers. It was some kind of foreign object. I don't know. I think it was something.
It was a guy, at least a carpenter.
It was actually the rapper. It was MC Hammer. So Amanda.
Hammer. All right, never mind.
So Amanda Nunes tested positive for COVID. Her fight with Pena is off. Now, Jason, you were saying in jail. Did you get vaccinated in jail?
Yeah.
You said someone died of COVID, right? Some healthy guy.
That's what they said, but then, and in the paper it said there was one death in the jails. So I guess somebody died there.
Well, did the lights go off and all of a sudden he has like, I got stabbed and they said COVID? Was that how it went down? Or
No, they just stabbed us all with COVID.
Sorry. So Nunez versus Pena is off, which sucks because I don't know, man. I was rooting for Pena.
Really?
Of course, I love Pena. I mean, she's like a legit friend. Like, I invited her to my wedding, like a friend.
Oh, she was at your wedding? Holy shit.
Well, she didn't come, but she was invited. I like Pena. And it was like a Rocky story for her. Like, on paper, nobody was giving her a shot.
Julianne. No.
She's a very talented mixed martial artist. Hello. Like,
we also believe
Pena is a master of the arts. Like, she's fucking really good. Like a smart girl that like figured out all the different styles, you know?
Yeah, she also.
It was nice to see.
She believes she can win too. Like, that's the thing. It's like a lot of times
people she
like.
She can. You know? She can.
So, what else is going on? Connor, so McGregor, you hear what happened with McGregor, his tweets? So he tweeted out, I guess after Poirier beat McGregor, what's his name? Khabib tweeted out, like, God is good, and then, you know, good will always defeat evil or something, right? Something along the lines. I'm paraphrasing. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me. But Conor McGregor then tweeted out, like, COVID is good, father is evil, basically because Khabib's dad died of COVID.
No, he did, like, a parody of that with the fucking writing.
Well, then he deleted it.
He like was like, I read.
Wait, what
said.
Was it
I
exactly? Read, he said COVID is evil?
Oh. No, he said COVID is good, like your dad is evil or something. He basically said, it was like, it was horrific. He goes, COVID is good and father is evil. That was the exact tweet. And then with a question mark. And then he deleted it. DC obviously then called Khabib, make sure he was okay. And he said he was when absolutely went over the line. I don't even know what the fuck he was thinking. I mean, what
did Khabib respond? Did he tweet back or anything?
I mean, I'd hope respond by showing up at his house by himself, beat the living shit out of him. I mean, man, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what drugs he's on or what or why, but you know.
What do you mean? He just had his ankle fucking snapped, bro. Are you joking? This guy is on all kinds of shit, like you know, fixing his fucking ankle. They better have already pinned it up.
Man.
And also, the Khabib McGregor fight was the number one pay-per-view for UFC of all time, right? So part two would like blow up the world.
Well,
so he can get Khabib out of retirement by making fun of his father.
Oh my
good
god!
Good business.
That's he's like an Irish bad guy, bro.
You might.
Oh my god! He's the meanest dude ever.
Talk about a guy that wouldn't let go after he had him in a submission. I mean, he might just choke him to die. He's dead. I mean, a guy that jumped out of the fucking octagon to fight his friend. You know, after he won. I mean, that was insane. That was insane.
Oh, Jesus. Very, very fighty people. There's a lot of fighty people around the world, I'll tell you that.
Chris Weidman says that his leg is not healing properly. He has to get another surgery.
Jesus.
That sucks. And then September 11th, Jason, we should definitely go to this. Vitor Belfort is fighting Oscar De La Hoya in L.A., for Triller.
Damn.
You said on September 11th?
Yeah, September 11th.
You would never make that up. You would never make that
Triller.
I don't know. They already had a press conference. De La Hoya does not look like he's in shape. I'm sorry. He looks like he's been like – and Vitor Belfort looks like he's close to that fucking Adonis that he was at one point. At the same time – those boxing skills are insane. I mean, De La Hoya's got crazy boxing skills.
I know. That's the interesting question. Like, can Vitor avoid that for, like, the early part of it? Because, like, you know, dude, Oscar De La Hoya is, like, the kung fu of boxing pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, he does, like, the certain things. But, you know, he's a lot lighter than Vitor Belfort is a Hulk. He's the Incredible Hulk, you know what I mean?
Did you ever train with him?
No, never. Yeah. I took a piss with him one time.
What, really?
Like, at the same
fire? Was it burning?
How's he packing?
You know what I mean? It was urinals, okay? We were gentlemen about it, all right?
California wildfire? Was his urine?
Yeah, so we both were sitting there pissing. I was like, bro, Peter, you need to fight it. Again, bro, come on. The shorts.
Yeah. Alan Belcher is out of retirement and he's doing bare knuckle boxing. Alan Belcher.
That's a cowboy, isn't it?
He's a great fighter. Has the worst tattoo in the history of sports. Remember,
what is it?
Johnny Cash tattoo. But it doesn't. It looks like Rosie O'Donnell, kind of. Chaz Bono. Like it just was like, you know. But
indistinct human tattoo.
Unfortunately, Tatiana Suarez, who I think, undefeated girl, national wrestling champion.
Yeah.
Fucked up Carla Esparza. She was on her way, I think, to a championship. She beat cancer, this girl. She was supposed to fight Roxanne Modafari, kind of like they were giving her a kind of a comeback fight from her injury. And she says she has a really bad knee surgery, headed to surgery after withdrawing. So that sucks. That sucks. Aljamain Sterling said to TJ Dillashaw, "You didn't come clean, you idiot. You got caught." Would you watch that fight, by the way, Sterling versus Sanhagen, Jason? Last week, you watched the fight.
Wait, you mean Dillashaw versus Sanhagen?
I mean Sanhagen versus Dillashaw. Do you watch it?
Yeah, I didn't see.
It was a pretty close fight. It could have went either way. What did you think, Bill?
Well, didn't they tally up like every single commentator analysis in the world and they all came out saying Sanhagen won just by average?
Really?
Yeah, I think they did. They tallied up like 50 people scoring it. I mean, Khabib said that Sanhagen won too.
You know, I think it was one of those things where he had him so hurt in the second round that because it was the other ones were kind of close, they were giving it to the guy that – because there was like – it was the comeback. Like, that cut was so bad. I feel like there was I feel like there's an emotional factor in judging. Where if one guy gets, like, even if you see a close fight and one guy is completely ripped and shredded, and the other guy looks like a fat pud, and it's close, they give it to the fat pud. Because you think
I agree with you.
You think he shouldn't be winning the fight.
Great.
It's like,
but shouldn't damage be a part of the judge's scorecard at the end? Shouldn't they take into account the damage that has been inflicted?
Of course. You know what I mean?
I mean,
back in the they said if it was a pride fight, they would have given it to back in the day, you know, with different judging. You know, if it was a 20-minute fight, but it's not different. I mean, Jason, what are you doing? Are you
stretching, bro? Stretching.
He's got a fight to prepare for, remember?
Yeah, no.
We're talking about training, you know.
Jason, let's talk. By the way, how is your comeback? Because people are asking if you're going to come back.
You look pretty swell right now, man.
You look like
I'm just like reforming myself, you know what I mean? Like,
are you doing sparring at the gym?
Yeah, of course, yeah. We had a nice fight party last night.
Are you winning the rounds?
Yeah, I mean, if we're training right, everybody should be winning rounds, you know?
Okay, but are you looking like you would say at this rate you're about 4 months away from maybe actually competing?
I don't know.
You know.
No, what do you mean? I'm just like,
make a guess.
Come on, you know your body, you know your worth, you know you can make a lot of money real quick if you really want
to. I know, but what am I going to do, you know? Like, I'm just, like, getting my body ready for whatever comes next, you know?
I'm not pushing to fight. You do whatever you feel is better.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. I'll be ready for whatever opportunity presents itself, you know?
Adam, you got to take Mayhem to, like, the Tyson Ranch and hook him up with the Triller guys. Have him fight, like, one of the Backstreet Boys or something.
I just want Jason to be mentally healthy.
Wait, what the fuck? It's not going to make me mentally healthy to go to some Barbie dream house, right? And fucking have a fucking fight party with Mike Tyson and company.
I want him to be happy and healthy and whatever he wants to do. But I understand his dilemma. If there was like a way for him to make $250,000 pretty quickly, you know, why would you not do that? He's only going to have a certain amount of years left for him to do that. And he's still in shape. He's still, if he's competing now, he's doing well against pros. You know, the writing's on the wall. At the same time, it's like, you know, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, at the highest level. Now, when you sparred Anderson Silva, who won the rounds?
Well, see, I know what you're talking about there. I got him takedowns, you know. But, man, I got to see the finesse and the style of Anderson Silva up close, the speed. That was like a big honor, you know, in a way, because he's an elite.
The word on the street is he's going to fight Logan Paul in a boxing match.
That's going to be fucking funny. Yeah.
Who's going to win?
Is that really going to happen?
Yeah,
every time you tell me these things, I feel like you're joking because you're a comedian, Adam.
Did I not
you're
say a comedian, Adam. You're fighting about Odom?
Adam, you're a comedian.
For 3 weeks.
You can't take it. No, we're on a podcast. You're a comedian, saying, Adam.
I know.
You're a comedian, Adam.
And this is
Adam, you're a comedian.
Thank you.
I can't
thank
even – come on, bro.
3 weeks I've been saying Ripo is going to fight Lamar Odom. Today it gets announced.
Every time you say it, I'm like, this guy is just joking.
No, according to Jake Paul, he's the one liking it. I mean, that's the word on the street.
Jake Paul liked it on Twitter. So that means
Logan
Paul liked it on Twitter. So what?
Google Logan. Look, they're trying to get
Google woke him? Google woke him?
No, Google Logan Paul Anderson Silva. There's a fucking
million. No, I'm not Googling nothing, man. Don't just send it to me.
Who wins the fight?
Man, I don't care.
Yeah, you do.
I know I don't. Who the hell are you talking? And
Logan Paul against Silva. Who wins the fight?
The fans.
You always got to root for the UFC guy, right? As a MMA guy.
Oh my God! Don't tell me what I gotta do.
If Logan Paul, if those guys fought the same night, right? The night that Anderson Silva beat Chavez Jr. I think he runs through fucking Logan Paul. I mean, Chavez Jr. is a high-level fighter. A guy that, like, went, like, 12 rounds against Canelo. Then Anderson fucking won almost every round against him. I know Logan Paul.
I don't see how fucking Paul, like, can bowl into. I don't know. I don't see how Logan Paul can figure that out. Like, how do you figure out a dude who just is versed in the sweet science and still, you know, able to do it? like, man, Anderson has like a really mastery of martial arts footwork, and he's like a ninja. And I always say this ninja, I guess that's some kind of ranking in my head where, you know, he can float out of range real nice. And he converted it to boxing super nice against Chavez Jr. And the difference is aggression, I think, because I think Paul will get fired up and start going for it, you know, like try to get him in the corner. I think this is going to happen, you know, like he'll try to push him back, but Anderson will step and slide. And it's only 8 rounds, or is that what it is?
Well, I know Logan, but everyone's like, well, Logan looked good against Mayweather, but he had 75 pounds on him.
That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't have
It's a more even match. And Anderson, you know, can be heavy. He can get heavier too, you know.
Like I'll never forget the Anderson Silva Forrest Griffin fight. That was the craziest fight I've ever seen.
Of course, yeah. That's like a good blueprint, yeah.
I mean, Forrest Griffin looked like an amateur against Silva, and Forrest Griffin's an amazing fighter. I mean, amazing. Now, granted, I think Forrest took like some kind of sleeping pill the night before, and I think may have still been on the sleeping pill. Like, according to him, like, he couldn't sleep, and his wife gave him some kind of oxygen or something that fucking – and he wasn't all there. And it makes sense when you think about it, because he was – looking. But it was like a fight where one guy's in slow motion and the other guy's in fast motion. That was crazy. That was like – that was insane. And you spar with both guys, you know?
Of course, yeah.
I mean, you see that fight going that way?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, because at that time, like, Forrest Griffin's boxing skills were underdeveloped. Like, he had a different style, and Anderson had already, like, figured that out, you know, like how to get inside on that kind of boxing style. And, like, you know, once you're inside the pocket and then you guys are exchanging, the dude who's slower has a significant disadvantage. You know, once the guy's tired, then he has to throw haymakers, you know, so you can get around it.
He wasn't
you know?
Tired. It was the first round.
Oh, I know. He just went, but it was after like a big scramble.
Nothing.
Once there's a big wrestling scramble will take it out of your muscles.
I was
so
depressed, though. The Chael Anderson fight, the first one, that was like, I was bummed for like 2 weeks. I was so rooting for Chael in that fight. And then when he won 4 minutes and like 30
this
seconds.
This is the most amazing fight of all time. This is the most amazing fight of all time. Yeah.
Man, I mean, Chael did everything he said he was going to do. And then just the last fucking 2 minutes. Now, you fought Chael.
No.
So he fought Chael. And when they fought, it was at like an Indian casino, Bill. And the ring was outside. Or it was raining. And like the ring kept fucking collapsing, so they had to fight. They had to fight on one side of the ring. Like, am I right?
When was this?
This is like
what year?
2001.
Oh shit! Wow.
Now, did you think Chael had a shot against Silva when they fought?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he was like a very the takedowns. You know, that was exact opposite fight. You know. One guy is more of a stand-up guy, didn't have the wrestling. One guy's a wrestler guy. You know, it's easy for the wrestler guy to keep getting the dude down and wearing him out usually. You know, and I guess that was the game plan for Silva, is like to slow him down and take damage, you know, like finally catch the submission. Like, they feel like Anderson, they worked the game plan out in advance, you know.
But he also didn't believe in Silva's hype at all. I think that really helped him.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't, like, Chael just didn't think of, like, he didn't believe it. Like, Chael is the most.
But he got caught in a triangle.
I know.
Must wake up in a cold sweat, like, once
he
a week with a nightmare about
triangle.
That.
At the end, he got caught in a triangle.
I know.
He got caught in a triangle.
He would have just stayed away, like, I don't know what he was thinking, because
he must have nightmares about that constantly.
The announcers kept saying it too. Like, the announcers kept saying he's like swimming in the guard. He's like, he's playing with fire. He's playing with fire. And then it was just like, I don't know if it was stubbornness or what, or Chael just wanting to prove American rest. I don't know, man. It was just like, that was crazy.
Fatality.
Yeah, that was so rough. And the second fight was weird. When he went for that.
Oh, I got a beep, yo.
Yeah. Anyway, we gotta head out. Jason, what do you have coming up?
Oh man, I got a whole next step.
All right, Phil, what do you have coming up?
Oh, your cat's so cute.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I got a bunch of shows, Long Beach Laugh Factory, and then Chocolate Sunday Sunday, which I haven't done in probably like 3 years, so I'm excited for that.
You're going to murder. You're going to murder. I will be in Boulder, Colorado this weekend at the Laugh Lines Comedy Club Friday night and Saturday night, and then I will be at Off the Hook Comedy Club August 19th to the 22nd in Naples, Florida. Jason, anything? All right.
Something happened, man. You got a call. You got
a
phone call.
If you guys want to train and you live in LA, go to Fight Science Gym. Fight Science Gym. I think it's like on like Pico. It's down there. Jason Miller. You can train with the great Mayhem Miller. I know he only wants to train pros, but he'll fucking take you. You want to learn one of the best guys of all time, a guy that beat Robbie Lawler and fought Chael Sonnen and fought Bisping and fought GSP and a guy that fucking tapped out Sakuraba. This is the guy. So go to Fight Science Gym. Plus, he needs to work. So you guys are great. Thank you guys so much, and take care.